Let's read together Micah chapter 5. This is a great messianic chapter. In this chapter, we have a prediction of the birthplace of the Messiah. We also have a clear statement of the deity and humanity of Christ. Micah chapter 5, let's read verses 1 and 2. Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. Here we have one of the great messianic predictions in the Bible. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. The Bethlehem is even pinpointed to Bethlehem Ephrathah, which is 5 to 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem was only a small town, but it would become the birthplace of the Messiah. Did you know that this is the second Old Testament prophecy quoted in the New Testament? The first is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which is quoted in Matthew chapter 1. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now Micah 5, 2 is the second Old Testament prophecy quoted in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 2. It is quoted by the chief priests and scribes to Herod in reference to the request of the wise men as to where the king of the Jews was born. Matthew 2, 6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Herod relayed this message to the wise men, and the wise men went and found the Lord in Bethlehem. The chief priests and scribes knew the word, but they never came to the Lord. The wise men believed and acted on the word when they heard it, and they found the Lord. There's a great lesson in this for us. Are we like the chief priests and scribes who know the word but don't act on it and don't live by it? Or are we like the wise men who believed the word and by faith acted on the word of God? Now, what about verse 1 of Micah chapter 5? Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. It seems that this is a prediction by Micah of the coming Babylonian siege of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar in 587 BC. And the judge of Israel here, who would be struck on the cheek, a sign of greatest humiliation, would be King Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. The Babylonians killed King Zedekiah's sons before his very eyes, and then they blinded Zedekiah and took him as a prisoner to Babylon. You can read about this in 2 Kings chapter 25. Now, why is that prophecy put in the context of this great messianic prophecy in verse 2? I think it's because of the contrast. The besieged and belittled last king of Judah, Zedekiah, is put in contrast to the Messiah, the greatest king to come in the future. He will be the key to Israel's deliverance. We need to move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number 1, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem at his first coming. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem at his first coming. Bethlehem was only a small town in Judah, and yet out of Bethlehem would come the Messiah. You might expect the Messiah to come from Jerusalem, the capital city, and the city of the temple. But no, the Messiah would come from the small one-horse town of Bethlehem. You know, God loves to take the obscure and use it for his glory. Whether it be people or places, nothing is too small for the Lord to take up and make significant. And that includes you and me if we give ourselves to the Lord for his service. King David had come from the little town of Bethlehem, and now the Messiah, the greater son of David, would also be born in the little town of Bethlehem. Notice how the full humanity and the full deity of the Messiah is brought out in this wonderful verse of Micah 5:2. He would be born as a baby in Bethlehem. There's his humanity. Yet this would not be his beginning. His goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. What baby could that be said about? This is none other than the eternal Son of God himself. His goings forth from of old would include his pre-incarnate appearances in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord, as well as his actions as creator. Read Colossians 1 in this connection. You know, Orthodox Judaism admits that this prophecy of Micah 5:2 had historically been interpreted as messianic. And Orthodox Judaism is forced to admit that Jesus of Nazareth was born in Bethlehem. But the Jewish people do not yet acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah. This is a powerful, fulfilled prophecy testifying to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem at his first coming. Doctrinal point number two. The Messiah will deliver Israel at his second coming. The Messiah will deliver Israel at his second coming. Verses 3 through 15. Let's read verses 3 and 4. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Verse 3 includes the present state of Israel. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. Romans chapter 11 also teaches that Israel has been set aside temporarily from God's place of favor, while the Gentiles are brought into the position of privilege. But there's coming a time in the future when a godly remnant will be born out of the secular state of Israel, and Israel will be restored once again to a position of the Lord's favor. So the she of verse 3 here is not the Virgin Mary, but the nation of Israel. And the birth is not the birth of Christ, but the birth of the godly remnant of Jewish believers in the future. This is the godly remnant that will be here on this earth when the Lord returns to deliver Israel, as we see in verse 4. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. As the good shepherd, he will feed his flock, and his name will be great to the ends of the earth. Now in verses 5 through 15, we see that when the Lord returns, he will deliver Israel in four different ways. Number one, the Lord will deliver Israel from the coming Assyrian. Verses 5 and 6. When the Assyrian comes into our land, and when he treads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princely men. They shall waste with the sword the land of Assyria and the land of Nimrod at its entrances. Thus he shall deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land and when he treads within our borders. Now, who is this coming Assyrian? He is not Sennacherib, the Assyrian who invaded Judah in 701 BC, because Israel did not conquer Assyria and the land of Nimrod at that time, as verse 6 says they will. I believe this coming Assyrian is the end time king of the north that will invade Israel in the future, according to Daniel chapter 11 and Joel chapter 2. I believe this coming Assyrian is a separate end time figure from the Antichrist and from the Roman beast of 666 notoriety. The end time king of the north will come out of the area of the ancient Assyrian Empire. As I see it, he will be a Saddam Hussein slash Osama bin Laden type figure, heading up a militant Muslim coalition in the future. But he will be defeated because the Lord will return and deliver Israel. The 7 and 8 shepherds or leaders of verse 5 that God uses in the defeat of this Assyrian, they may be literal or figurative. In any case, the Lord delivers Israel from the coming Assyrian. Number 2, the Lord will deliver Israel from all her enemies. Verses 7 through 9, then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, that tarry for no man, nor wait for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Your hand shall be lifted against your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off. Israel then will be like a lion, because the Lord will fight for her, and all her enemies will be cut off. Number 3, the Lord will deliver Israel from all warfare, verses 10 and 11. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that I will cut off your horses from your midst and destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. When the Lord returns in judgment and destroys all of Israel's enemies, he will also scrap all instruments of warfare and break down all fortifications, because they will not be needed. Remember Micah chapter 4, verse 2. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It will be a time of worldwide peace under the reign of Christ. Number 4, the Lord will deliver Israel from idolatry, verses 12 through 15. I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you shall have no soothsayers. Your carved images I will also cut off, and your sacred pillars from your midst. You shall no more worship the work of your hands. I will pluck your wooden images from your midst. Thus I will destroy your cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury on the nations that have not heard or obeyed. In the last days, idolatry will return to Israel. But when the Lord returns, he will not only judge and destroy Israel's enemies, he will also purge the land of Israel of all vestiges of idolatry. The Messiah will deliver Israel at his second coming. Now, what about practical application? Have you received the bread from Bethlehem? Have you received the bread from Bethlehem? I think you're aware that the name Bethlehem means house of bread. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6 that he was the bread of life. Isn't that interesting? The bread of life was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Have you received the bread of life as the only means of satisfying your spiritual hunger? Have you received the bread from Bethlehem?